Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. This is End Times Friday. This will be airing September the 26th. So we're taping this a little bit ahead of that, but I think what we're going to talk today will help kind of bring some things together as we are challenged by our role. And really, it's we're applying it to the end times possibility. And again, what we keep saying is that the way the world goes does impact us.
Right.
And it could be what I call short-term, long-term. Generally speaking, our focus tends to be short-term and personal.
Right.
You look at the impact, you say, okay, I see certain things, but is that going to impact me? And it impacts me either because we know it's going to impact us, or we think, no, it isn't going to impact me, but it winds up. You know, like, for example, right, when the economy goes through a recession. And recession is really where you have a slowdown of the growth of GDP, domestic product, which could either go flat. It could go from maybe it was 3%, 4%. Now it's only 1%. Still growing, by the way. But it's growing at a much lesser rate. So now there's a recession, or it could go negative even that, you know, things go negative, which happened, you know, during 2008 and somewhat at COVID. So our focus tends to be on, okay, what's the impact of me? And if I think, well, yeah, there's a recession, but I'll be fine. And you expect that, you live that way until you get laid off.
Right.
And like, uh-oh. This happened to me. Now this happened to me. And now I'm affected by it. Okay, now what do I do? So our focus tends to be short-term, personal. Does it impact me or not? And what do I think about that? And what God is always wanting us to do, and this is particularly important today, but the dynamics of the world around you are changing. And I would say the biggest thing that's happened in the last 10 to 15 years is that it's gone from predictability. And what I mean even predictability, because I remember when Linda and I were first married, we were actually first married into a recession economically. I graduated from USC with my MBA, and I got a job, but I went into that cycle that it was through a recession because of the predictability of it. And by the way, my major from my MBA was economics. And I had to do what's called macroeconomics, global economics.
Right.
And then micro, you know, how companies react to that. So I knew a lot about the recession and the impact of the recession. Because of the predictability of it, which is what our courses were all about, I knew, well, it's going to last, you know, X number of months or a year or two,
right,
and then it'll come out of it. So I felt good about buying a house. Hey, we're going to get there, and it'll gain, and my income will go. And we had a predictability to it. Not that it was always a straight line up,
right?
But it was a curve that you could identify and know that it would happen. Well, today, because of the intertwining of the global political situation and the dependence on foreign goods like oil, for example,
right,
for the United States, and then goods from China, you know, for the United States. And because of global things can happen, it's not predictable anymore.
Right.
So I'll just give you a simple example. Gold and silver are called precious metals. There's a limit of that. And the reason that people buy gold and silver is what's called a hedge or an insurance policy. So like for example, Dan works for a company, has a life insurance.
Right.
Now he doesn't plan on using that anytime soon.
Right.
But he's got one in case something happened to him while he's working at this company. And he's no longer here and you don't get the income of that.
Right.
An insurance policy will give you the money that you need in case something happens.
Right.
Now, you don't plan on it happening and you never use it unless that happens. Okay, well, gold and silver is a similar, call it an insurance policy. And that is that I normally invest in, not me personally, but I'm talking me as a population. We invest in real estate, stocks and bonds.
Right.
A variety of things to gain my company, et cetera, that I'm going to expect a return on that investment. Now, you know, we had the event in 2008 where the, you know, the mortgage and everything collapsed when, and we were seriously on the brink of major disaster. You know, we've recovered from that, but the stock market ever since that time, it's gone through some ups and downs, but it's pretty much been up.
Right.
So it's a trajectory of, if you put, you know, I think right now, if you had put, let's say $10,000 in stocks and bonds in 2010, here we are 15 years later, that would probably be worth something about maybe $200,000-$300,000. So that's a pretty good return.
Right.
Okay. During that time.
I had a professor who used to call that the miracle of compound interest.
Did he explain what that was?
Oh, he did. He drilled us as, you know, 18-year-old students in his Econ 101 class, the miracle of compound interest, and you go put some money in an account right now. And I mean, we'd hear it all the time from him.
I was, my wife and I were, we have some friends that have a condominium on the, in the Cayman Islands, and they were Canadian. And so we went down there, we were with them for a week, and they took us to a cocktail party with their friends. And we go, and there's, you know, there's all these people, and they're from all over the world, you know, Switzerland and England and France, Canada, and a variety of places. And so we go in, and he's introducing me to people, and then he kind of takes me aside. He said, you know, there's one thing about all these people that is not true for you. Now, my first reaction is, yeah, they're wealthy, and I'm not. he said, because of their tax rules, they live outside of their country 6 months and a day, which is why they have a place in the Caymans. And because of that, they don't pay taxes anywhere in the world.
Wow.
He said, and he used that statement, think of the compound interest of money that they don't pay the taxes that they get to compound. Think of that,
right,
you know,
right.
And the math of that, like, whoa, you know, that's amazing. So yeah, it grows and things can grow. And so typically when the market is up, gold and silver go flat or down because it doesn't become a strong motivation for people to invest in gold and silver if the market is really going up. Now, if it switches and the market flattens or goes negative, then the price of gold and silver goes up.
Right. Which during COVID, we saw the price of gold and silver go, well, gold especially, go way up.
Yeah. And then you can invest in it and you expect now, and I have a hedge so that if you have a, let's say a portfolio of investments, and again, let's say you had a $100,000 in an investments and the market, et cetera, you might have 20,000 of that in gold and silver. Now that typically isn't going to go, it's not going to grow and it's not going to compound. It's just going to be flat or even negative, but it's an insurance policy.
Right.
If everything goes south, then your value of that 20% can equal your 100% because it'll multiply by three or four times.
Right.
So that's why it's called a hedge. Well, the market since 2010 has gone way up and keeps going way up. Typically, gold and silver would be flat or down.
Right.
Guess what? It's not.
Right. And I think COVID was kind of the beginning of that. It started skyrocketing and it has not come down.
It was actually before that, but it did stimulate that. So it's gone way, way up. At the same time, the market's gone way up. So the point we're trying to make is that, predictability would say it would be flat. Okay. It didn't.
Right.
Okay. So the question becomes, okay, I observed that. why did it go that way? What right. happened that it was going that way? So we had to dig into it. And remember, gold and silver is precious and it's limited. The price of it is based on supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And while people were typically investing in the market, guess what? The central banks of the world are buying gold.
Interesting.
And they're the ones that are keeping that price moving in the same direction as the market, opposite of what it typically would be.
Right.
Because they're accumulating gold and silver for their own accounts. And they're soaking up the demand of it, which means the price keeps going up. So both things happened at the same time when they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, huh, what's that all about? You know, what right. are they doing there? You know, so there's another question, because there's observation and the predictability is different. Mm-hmm. Like, why isn't it following a predictable pattern? And I think partly is because we've entered a period of time in history where everything is going to be changing of how the impact happens globally. And ultimately, you know, therefore, how do I interpret that? Mm-hmm. And I have to understand, and the biggest, you know, the two things we're trying to discuss is, because of what the scriptures say about the end, are we in fact headed that direction?
Right.
And by the way, and we'll talk about this, one day we will be, for sure, and it'll happen.
Right.
And then two is, even if it isn't, since we're entering into this very unpredictable time and all these interconnections and events in Middle East affect us, well, we have to be aware of that unpredictability. Mm-hmm. And since we can't predict, this is kind of interesting, since we can no longer predict it, we do know somebody who knows the answer.
Yes.
And God says, see, I understand, I know that. And I know the outcome of that. And by the way, guess what? I can tell you. Mm-hmm. I can show you things that you have the privilege of receiving, because actually I know that answer. And so right. it's not unpredictable to me. So that's what we're trying to do, is say, in any event, and that's why it's important to keep looking at this and thinking about this, is that it's tricky. Times are tricky. Times are changing. Times are unpredictable. And our role is to observe and then understand it. So there's this great scripture, and we'll spend some time in this over the next several Fridays, in Ezekiel. It's about a watchman. So Ezekiel, and it's chapter 3, 16 to 21.
Sure. It says, "Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him a warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul."
Yeah. So he sets this beautiful thing up about the watchman, and he makes a statement, "I am making you a watchman." Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's look at the word. Think of the simplicity of a watchman. Mm-hmm. What does a watchman do?
Well, back in biblical times, would literally stand on a tower and be in charge of watching.
Yeah.
To see what was coming, if there was any attacks coming forward, anything that needs to be warned and hollered out to the people inside the city walls, all of that.
Yeah. So a watchman watches. Mm-hmm. And I'm observing, I'm called to observe events. And then, and what they would do, and you described it well, is that I'm watching to see if things change.
Right.
And our town is in a certain state. We're surrounded by a potential enemy. Do I see something happening that might be problematic for us? And so I'm observing that. So he said, a watchman watches. And then he says that I will then, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, God speaking, you'll give them warning.
Right.
Okay. So the purpose of this is so that I can do what for other people?
Warn other people.
Warn them. And warning is observe something happening. Mm-hmm. God has told me to say this, and I'm going to offer that to you to consider both what I've observed and then what God says about what I've observed.
Right.
Okay, now, so your role is to observe and provide warning. He said the key to it, and he makes this interesting statement. This is where scripture is so beautiful. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth. Okay, now, if I'm a watchman, I will be able to do what?
To see things. And in this case, it says to hear his voice.
Okay, yeah. So he said, you will be hearing my voice. I'll be giving you a specific information to give warning about what you observe.
Right.
And you'll hear what I have to say, and you have the ability to hear what I have to say. And that's why I'm putting you in as a watchman. So he's really adding a feature that's important is we could all observe. Unfortunately, what happens, and this is where we got to be careful, because there's all kinds of people that you follow. There may be Christians that have certain bents to them. I rely on what they say or what somebody writes. So, you know, I hear people say, I always watch this particular newscaster.
Right.
And whatever they say, I follow. Or I follow this guy who writes a newsletter or a podcast. I follow him. And I said, well, it's fine to get that information.
Right.
But you don't follow him or that person. You follow what God has to say. We have to get deeper to say, okay, Father, here's what I'm observing. What do you have to say about that? Go ahead.
I'm going to take us just on a tiny, tiny little rabbit trail. As you said that, it just struck me. You know, think about with social media right now, the number of things that you literally sign up to follow, right? And I'm just thinking about the substitute. How many of us truly sign up to follow Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
You know, how many Christians follow great podcasts, great speakers, great singers, great, you know, all of these, but are they really sitting at his feet following him? Yeah. And that's kind of what you're talking about here, right? But it's an interesting thing that even that term has entered our vocabulary in these days.
Is it really
that
has.
We follow others.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's a substitute in and of itself, right?
It really is.
It's fascinating that word is used. Yeah.
Yeah. And the, the implication of that is that we are looking to somebody else to interpret things that they're observing. And so you observe it, you tell me what you think about that, and I'll follow what you say. And God says, no, you watch.
Right.
And you observe and you dialogue with me, and then I'll speak to you with a desire for you to understand it, one, and two, to give warning. So that
will use other voices to feed into that and to, you know, that he has shared, just like if we share what he's speaking to us, that is a warning, as, you know, as Ezekiel was a watchman and he spoke warning. There are lots of watchmen out there speaking warning. So it's not to discard, but is certainly not to replace.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. And so how do we do that? And so he says that I want you to be a watchman. I want you to be able to hear what I have to say. And when I tell you, here's what I now want you to understand about what you've observed. And I want you to warn somebody specifically, which could be, he's warning, in this case, he's warning the house of Israel, which is, in other words, just think, I'm going to use you to give a word to somebody other than yourself.
Right.
So this could be your spouse. It could be your family. It could be your inner circle. It could be your small group. It could be your church. It could be a business. It could be a bigger thing, but it's just bigger than you. That I want you to warn people, and I'll tell you where to go with that.
Right.
It could be global. You know, it could be a broad, you know, Christian church speaking to it. But God said, I'll define it and tell you, you know, to bring warning to it. And then he goes on, and we'll talk more about this, about, you know, I'm talking, you can warn unbelievers and you could warn believers. And he said the key, which we'll get into, is he says the outcomes are going to be based on their choices. But for you, if I ask you to say something and you don't say it, I'm going to hold you responsible for that. So it's kind of an important thing. Which then a lot of people would say, well, then don't ask me to be a watchman. And he says, no, he says, I want you to observe, and I want, like my children, to be in that mode of a watchman, because that means you're dialoguing with me personally and serving others to invite them to do the same thing. So as we do this, as we do this, we actually don't want you to say Rich said or Kathy said. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is, are you observing the things we're observing? We are warning you to consider it. Mm-hmm. What we really need you to do is you go to God and confirm that.
Right.
And get your instruction, you know, from him. So that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, as we set this up, what we do, see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to go from what we know to be true, mm-hmm. because the end is very well described in Scripture. So we know what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's very clear in Scripture. So what we're trying to do is go backwards and say, since we know that's going to happen, mm-hmm. how does that happen? When is that happening? Are we observing it happening now? Mm-hmm. You know, like for example, Scripture said, in the end, Israel will return as a nation.
Right.
Well, it happened.
They'll pay attention to that. Right.
Well, what does that look like and what does that mean? And then we know when the tribulation begins, mm-hmm. the beast sets himself up. And remember, it's a 10-headed organization. I think it's more corporate structure than it is nations. And we have a one world government mm-hmm. with a new economic currency and a new economic system. So you won't have a dollar anymore. You won't have the United States deciding their own sovereignty. You'll be surrendered to a worldwide government. We know that to be true. Mm-hmm. So since we know that to be true, is there anything we're observing that would say, well, that's actually headed pretty quickly into that place, you know? Mm-hmm. And as we look at it, we know that the World Economic Forum and the Council for Foreign Relations, their goal is one world government, mm-hmm. supported by the central banks, which is owned by the Rothschilds. So, well, we know that's all to be true. So they're making those statements. There's movement in that direction. We're observing it's gone from being kind of unknown to being mm-hmm. very, very, they're very vocal about it right now.
Right.
And the world is moving toward one world government. Okay. So we're observing that. So now, right now we observe it. And that's really what we're trying to do in our podcast is bring out these observations. And now we're starting to ask, Father, would you speak to us? Mm-hmm. And are we to warn, do any warning? And for you and I and people that are in this role, we have to process that to get clarity ourselves.
Right.
Is, well, tell us what you're helping us understand and what do you want us to say? If I'm going to, and he says, only say what I'm going to tell you.
Right.
And don't add to it and don't subtract it, which is what we're very careful to try to do that. And so as we do this, which is why we have, you know, with Denny and Eric and Rabbi about Israel is, and we're going to try to actually get some discussion about their view of prophecy and their mm-hmm. view of Israel with this. But the key is to, and we'll spend more time in Ezekiel, what's the role of a watchman? And the first one is observe. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to try to do is highlight things to observe. And then we'll give you some insight about that, what we're seeing. But all of us are looking toward, Father, what would you say to us that we are to give warning about?
Right.
And then encourage those people who are getting receiving the warning. See, he said this right in the implication. He said, if you give a warning, mm-hmm. they have the opportunity to choose to walk with me.
Right.
And now the outcome isn't your burden, but your role is to present that opportunity.
Right.
If you don't, it's on your head, you know, and we'll talk about what that looks like. So it'll be really interesting as we dig deeper into the scriptural truth of watchmen and how we process that. But the key right now would be to be observant. Mm-hmm. And again, we're happy to have if people have some things that they'd like to know about or they've seen or what about, send them in. We'll start to add that to our list of things to observe. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do select us to be watchmen. The purpose is to warn, and the key is that we're hearing your words. And so I pray that we will have that ability, one, and then two, that we'll actually enjoy understanding the things that you're asking us to observe and to have you interpreted for us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. I think this is going to be a fun discussion as we get into it. And then even as we're talking about this, just a reminder to everyone, in the midst of all of this, God invites us into his story.
Yeah.
It involves us, but it's not about us.
Yeah.
So even as we're looking at these things and making these observations, we need to keep in view fully the meta narrative of the Bible, yeah. and that God has written it beginning to the end, and just making sure we keep him the main character and we don't shift to making ourselves as we look at some of these things. We can draw in, and he's saying zoom out a little bit too.
Yeah, that's good.
So
I like that.
Important yeah. to remember. Anyway, if you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.